Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game, hour number two. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. And it looks like the Tennessee Titans have officially made the Jeffrey Simmons deal official. They posted it on their website. And, you know, Jeffrey Simmons said, "We had a great talk," and him saying I was one of his priorities meant a lot to me in regards to talking to Rand Carthon and where he was in the rank of things that Rand Carthon needed to do when he came and took over as general manager. So it's officially official. I know that we heard the reports of it earlier this week, but Jeffrey Simmons gets the big deal with the Tennessee Titans. And just a little recap, in four seasons in the NFL, Simmons has tallied 196 tackles, 21 sacks, 135 quarterback pressures, 26 tackles for a loss. So he gets one more million guaranteed than Aaron Donald, but second biggest contract as a whole, just under Aaron Donald for Jeffrey Simmons. So first big move by Rand Carthon and officially made official on the Tennessee Titans website, Junie.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's essentially official when the player comes out and says it, of course. But, I mean, it's always good to hear, you know, the Titans come out and announce it. I mean, they've already been making posts about it on their Instagram saying they got the follow back. Like,
incredible. Nate Bain.
It's good stuff.
Amazing. Who runs their social media. That was an incredible post. But I talked about it before we headed to break, Junie. We had this conversation earlier this morning. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. The NBA play-in games begin tonight. You've got the Hawks and the Heat. They will play each other. That'll be the first game at 6:30. And then you've got the Timberwolves and the Lakers. Also to mention, Rudy Gobert is out for the Timberwolves after the altercation in the huddle the other night. He threw a punch at one of his teammates. I'm sure people have probably seen the video on Twitter in regards to that. So that's a huge loss for the Timberwolves to not have one of their best players on the court, especially playing the Lakers, who are pretty hot right now. And then the winner of that game will play Memphis in the first round, Junie. But I wanted to get a state of the union, a temperature on Nashville sports fans, or really anybody who's listening to us right now. So text us, call us. We got a lot of great thoughts earlier this morning, 615-737-1025. What is your level of interest on these NBA playoffs? Are you interested? Do you care? I mean, I watch this, and I understand, you know, NBA regular season is very, very different. And for me, sometimes it's hard to watch, especially when you see the best players just in their league fits outfits, just sitting on the benches for load management or whatever it may be. And there's nothing worse than being a fan and paying money to go to an NBA game and LeBron not playing or the best player who's supposed to be there not playing. I mean, I remember I went to a Memphis Grizzlies game and they're playing the Utah Jazz and Donovan Mitchell wasn't playing. And I was like, come on. Like, I was so excited to see him. I've been to a couple of Grizzlies games. John Morant was playing. But Donovan Mitchell wasn't playing. And that's probably like the worst thing in the NBA is all of this back and forth load management and somebody's not playing or they're out. And first off, it's frustrating for the fans. Second off, I mean, if you have to do all of this load management and use analytics to say, okay, well, you can't play this many games because you won't perform as well in the playoffs, why don't you just make the season shorter?
I'm for that. And I've actually had this conversation with one of our part-time producers, David Janes.
Big Memphis fan.
And I used to be a diehard NBA. Like, imagine the way I am with the NFL. That's how I used to be with the NBA as well. Like, I treated them as equal. I followed the NBA religiously. And really, after LeBron James, like, left to go to the Lakers and the whole parody of him kind of battling the Warriors was over, was when I kind of started to fall out of line. Because, like, I've always kind of been, like, a huge LeBron hater, I'm not going to lie. Like, I've always kind of just enjoyed rooting against him. But the thing about the NBA that's really changed for me is one, the physicality, the lack of defense that's being played, the amount of travels that aren't called, the amount of ticky-tack fouls and inflating the scoring numbers of players because they go to the line and you know, just take their free throws so often, the flopping, the trying to draw calls. It's almost as if, like, professional basketball is just trying to be like a soap opera, trying to be like soccer. And it's frustrating to watch, and it really doesn't get good until it gets into the playoffs. And I still enjoy and watch the NBA playoffs because they actually play defense. You know, yeah. Refs are, you know, not blowing the whistle at every little piece of contact. I just miss the element of the game where physicality and being a tough guy actually meant something. And I feel like nowadays, athleticism, finesse, and trying just to play the, you know, the emotional aspect of the game has become more important than the fundamentals of basketball. And I think that's what really frustrates me. And the whole sitting out thing, I mean, I think Michael Jordan, and again, this is Michael Jordan, and it's not a good comparison to just your average player, but Michael Jordan didn't miss more than 15 games in his entire career outside of that one season when he had a season-ending injury. Outside of that, I think he only missed 12 games in his entire NBA career. And it's just like tough guys play. They know that the fans spend a lot of money to go out there and watch. You know, you play. Kobe Bryant's been on record saying that as well. Why would I choose to sit out when there's a fan out there that spent all their money to come watch me one time? Why would I do that? And I think that's why the NBA has just gone down so much in popularity, mm-hmm. Because of the rules, because of the lack of physicality and players sitting out. It's just it's more or less like it's like a me league rather than the league is more important than anything.
Yeah, I agree with you on some things. You know, the sitting out. I mean, when it comes to the playoffs, they play defense and, you know, they care to win. I don't take the they don't play defense aspect of things. But I mean, Wes in Clarksville brings up a good point. He says, I like the Grizzlies. Nobody really talks about them, though. They kind of are like the Preds. You have to have a special TV subscription to be able to watch the games. And I think that hurts the popularity of the Grizz. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you have to have the Bally subscription to watch them, which definitely hurts them. But I also wonder, too, you know, how much does Ja Morant was looked at as, you know, like the such a star last year, you know, coming off of his performance, and he got involved in just some not great things, got in some trouble, a couple things that didn't help him earlier this year. And, you know, I was listening to Max Kellerman this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and he had a really interesting comment on him. Here's Max Kellerman earlier this morning on Ja Morant.
Think of how it's going for Ja for a second. I know, well, the narrative's not that he can't play. It's that he's getting into trouble. But this, especially in the United States of America, boy, we reward winning differently. It erases the sins, right? It amplifies anything good about you.
United States of America.
So if Ja Morant were to win finals MVP this season, that whole thing about, oh, now he can't be the face of the league. Oh, yeah? Could you imagine what that's going to look like if he wins?
How true is that statement?
I think that statement is baloney. to be honest with you, what has kind of come out about Ja Morant here recently is, quite frankly, in my opinion, disgusting. They actually released the police body cam footage of the interviewing of the 17-year-old kid that allegedly Ja Morant got into a physical altercation with over a pickup basketball game. And to hear this kid, like, talking about how excited he was to play in a pickup game with Ja Morant and you know, how he was like, how it was like a lifelong dream of his to play with like an NBA star like that. Mm-hmm. And then for, you know, just some fun and games trash talk turn into this kid getting jumped allegedly by Ja Morant and his friends is ridiculous. And then you talk about the, I think it was either Foot Locker or one of those shoe stores down in Memphis about, you know, Ja Morant's mother not getting good service, you know, trying to get some shoes or something. And then Ja Morant and his friends, like, are out there waiting for the worker. There's a lot of nasty stories that have come out about Ja Morant and his behavior. It's not just him flashing a gun at a strip club in Colorado. It's like really genuine violence against people in the area that he's been around. And it's honestly an embarrassment to him, because when you're a guy that's getting paid this much and you're supposed to be a role model and a superstar and all the eyes are on you and you choose to behave like this when you're granted such a great lifestyle, I personally think it's a disgrace. And this is coming from a guy that has watched Ja Morant in college and was a fan of him and wanted him to succeed. And I find myself not wanting to root for Ja Morant because of the things that have come out and the things that he's done. And until he really kind of comes out and apologizes and owns what he did, I don't think I can be a fan of his and truly watch and embrace, you know, him as a player.
No, I completely, everything that has come out that, you know, has happened, I mean, unacceptable behavior. But, you know, to Max's point there, we see a lot of, you know, not great things that happen in sports, but a lot of times when teams are winning, we see a lot of things with owners of teams and, you know, general managers and players throughout the history of sports, that when you start winning, a lot of these things get swept under the rug, they get forgotten about. It's just the reality. It's so incredibly sad and unfortunate, but we can't deny that this is what happens in society.
I can see definitely your point about, you know, your average fan looking past it. But for me, in the amount of things that I've seen pop up on my feed and the quotes from the guy that was working at the shoe store talking about how Ja Morant said he was going to wait outside for him and he's hiding in the back of the store because Ja Morant is openly threatening him in the store is troubling to think about. You know, a guy's just sitting here trying to do his job, and Ja Morant's mother, who thinks that she's more privileged than your average person to be able to get the utmost and best service above anybody else, calls her son and her friends to come in and intimidate this kid. I mean, it's just shameful. It's shameful to use your popularity and your power to put your average person who doesn't have that in their place to be bewildered to you. And for me, it's just something that I can't look past until I've seen some real change in the Morant family for me.
We got a lot of texts on our text line regarding the NBA, regarding the popularity. We'll get to some of those texts at the beginning of the next segment. And then we'll also take a look at where the Tennessee Titans fall in the AFC as a whole. Jonathan Hutton will join us in 15 minutes at 10:30. Coming up next on Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. Nick Kieser with us as well. We are live from our Game studios this morning. And Nashville's best deal of the week is Joyland in East Nashville. Get half off a $30 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals and enjoy the best burger in town. Find some joy today. Eat Joyland for half off with Nashville's best deal of the week at Nashville. TheGameNashville.com. If you want to watch us streaming on live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live every day, our streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And if you want to weigh in on our text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a couple messages to get to regarding the NBA. What is your level of interest? The play-in games start tonight for the NBA playoffs. We've got the Hawks and the Heat first, and then followed by the Lakers and the Timberwolves. Rudy Gobert will be out from the Timberwolves because of his altercation the other day. Gene from Spring Hill texts in and says, when players were saying the owners are using us and they're making 10 to 40 million a year, that was it. I haven't watched a game in 10 years. I was a fan and I played in high school. We've got Ryan from Chicago who texts in, there are a few things more misinformed than they don't play defense in the NBA take. Old man yells at a cloud, Junie.
Okay. When you see NBA basketball games going into the 140s on a nightly basis and your third best player on the team is getting like 30 points a game, like, no, there's no defense. They don't try hard. They don't press. They don't give a legitimate effort. I'm above that narrative. I miss the old days of when real defense was played, when you could actually be physical in the game of basketball, because true basketball is a physical game. It's flat out. It's not the same anymore, and you don't really get that until the playoffs. And I will give credit to one team that I watch that plays defense, and that's the Boston Celtics. Anytime I watch, like, a Celtics-Sixers game, I always think those are some of the best NBA games that you can watch, because they do actually play some pretty good defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to get a lot of people heated with that take. I would love to hear you and Rex Road go back and forth on that, Junie.
Which I'm surprised that Joe doesn't feel that way.
So wait, what are your thoughts if the Bulls, I mean, and this is such a summer topic right now, and we're going to get into the Titans in a second, but Warriors team last year versus the 80s Bulls teams. Please don't tell me you're going to say the Bulls would win.
I'm going to say the Bulls for sure. 100% I would say the Bulls.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
But that's the premise of this argument really goes down to, you know, which era of rules are we talking about? Are we talking about the rules back in the 80s and 90s to when you could actually hand check and be physical when you play defense, or modern day rules where you can't touch the guy or they're calling a foul? Because if that's the case, then yeah, of course the Warriors are going to have an advantage. But if you put the Warriors back in the rules back in the 90s when you could be physical, then yeah, I like the Bulls' matchup.
I just think, I mean, the 3-point shooting, you know, you talk about the Warriors, the shooting is leaps and bounds better than, you know, the teams in the 80s. And I think a lot of the reason people bring up this physicality aspect is because, you know, you're shooting in the paint so much, right?
It's easier to shoot when you have separation.
Well, okay. But, I mean, you know, a part of the – this is a – we will table this. We will table this conversation because we could go on and on and on about the NBA. But it looks like, I mean, we've got some people here who are, you know, excited to watch the Grizzlies – try to make a playoff run. I mean, what is the level of excitement if the Preds don't make it into the playoffs and the Grizzlies make a run? You know, does that determine what a lot of people in Nashville watch? Let us know throughout the show and throughout the week, too. 615-737-1025. Junie, just a couple minutes here. You know, we've been discussing the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis will be visiting with them today. They've got the 11th overall pick this year in the draft. Anthony Richardson will be coming here next week. That was reported by Cam Wolf that he'll be having a visit with the Tennessee Titans. So, and Hendon Hooker has already visited here. I doubt that CJ Stroud or Bryce Young will. They're going to go 1-2. I don't know if it's even feasible for the Tennessee Titans to get one of those guys. But, you know, you look at the opportunity the Titans have. They have an opportunity right now to draft a franchise quarterback if they believe that one of those guys could be the future of their franchise. But if you look at this team currently constructed, where would you put them in the AFC? I mean, we've had this discussion so many times. Think about how deep the AFC is just quarterback-wise. Where would you put, you know, the Tennessee Titans in probably the worst division in the AFC? Where would you rank them?
I mean, you know, Vegas comes out with odds every year of win totals, and it's always really interesting to see, you know, where they have teams kind of stacked up. And according to Vegas, the Titans win over under is 7.5 wins. And the only teams in the AFC that are at that number or below it are the New England Patriots, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Indianapolis Colts, and Houston Texans. And I would say all four of those teams are the only teams that I would put the Titans above currently in the AFC as we talk right now. I mean, when you look at the West, I think the Broncos are going to be a little bit better with Sean Payton. I mean, we know Herbert and Mahomes are going to get some wins. The Dolphins really improved their roster this past offseason, and I think if Tua stays healthy, then that will be a really good team. The Jets, if they get Aaron Rodgers, they're going to be a lot better than the Titans. The Bills, AFC North, I think that every single team in that division right now is better than the Titans. The thing the Titans have going for them is that they play in the weakest division in the conference, and that two of those teams that are below you are, you know, two of the weakest teams in the entire conference. So it really all depends. But, I mean, the way that they're looking right now, it just goes to show me that this team is not a playoff team, and they're not a top team in the AFC right now. They're not. And they have so many holes, you know, inside linebacker, corner, offensive line, wide receiver. I mean, y'all were talking about it yesterday on Robbie and Rexler. Like, which team has the worst wide receiver core in the NFL? I mean, arguably, you could say it is the Titans. Mm-hmm. And with the way that the game is played now and so wide receiver heavy, that's in a really important position that needs to be addressed. And how are the Titans going to put up points and keep their defense off the field and sustain drives to get the most out of that really good defense when they're not putting up points and their passing numbers are some of the worst in the league?
We're going to go to Neil quick on our phone line, driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com wants to weigh in on the Tennessee Titans. Neil, how are you?
I'm doing amazing, Michelle. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for calling in. What do you got for us?
I originally called about the Bulls thing, but he told me y'all are Titans now. So Now, I'll say this. I know they're having Will Levis come in. You need to stay at 11, and you need to pick a wide receiver. And if Will Levis is there at 11, I would trade down. We need wide receivers. I mean, I could probably right now find somebody at Publix that can catch cans of peas better than right now than we have wide receivers.
We've got one coming up next in Derek Mason. Maybe we could grab him to get back out there.
Neil, real quick.
Absolutely.
Neil, real quick, I want to know, what's your favorite receiver in this draft that you want the Titans to go get?
I don't know. I mean, they're talking about the wide receiver from, was it Ohio State?
Smith and Jigba.
You know, the other thing about it, yeah, and Jigba, I mean, I'm not too much into college as much as I am the pros, but, you know, if you can get a decent wide receiver, and I'm sure there's good wide receivers in rounds two and three, so, I mean, I wouldn't mind them trading down and getting a couple extra picks, but we need wide receivers. Tannehill's not a bad quarterback. I mean, he had nobody to throw to last year. When you gave him Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, he threw 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in 2021. So, you know, but I'm a Titans fan. I'm from Nashville, so I'm a rare unicorn here. So tighten up, baby. And I love you guys. Keep up the good jobs.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for calling in. So Neil wants to see the Tennessee Titans stay at 11 if a quarterback is there. Attempt to trade back. Obviously, you need teams to want to go up and get one of those guys, but ultimately get a wide receiver to boost that core. Coming up next, 10:30, Jonathan Hutton is going to join us today. We're going to talk about all things Tennessee Titans, NFL headlines. Text us what you want to know, 615-737-1025. Coming up on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle. Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe for the next couple of days. Nick Kieser with us, and we go to our phone line and welcome in Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike. Jonathan, how are we doing this Tuesday morning?
Hey, Michelle, doing great. Junie, hope things are well, man.
Doing good, Jonathan. Thanks for joining us.
I got to get used to the Hot Mike. I almost went there,
yeah,
but I got it. I got to get used to it.
Yep, same here. So far, I have not said Outkick 360. I've only said Hot Mic. And I went a while without saying the previous stop's name as well. So I'm doing okay. Although I did give out the wrong phone number on a Titans postgame show last fall. So I hold that against myself.
Well, I almost gave out my real phone number instead of the station. So it could be worse. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with us. So Jonathan, Will Levis, Kentucky quarterback, will be visiting with the Tennessee Titans today. How do you view him as a prospect, and where would you rank him in the top five? So all of the guys, right, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Hendon Hooker, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, where would you rank him in this top five?
It's a good question, because I think right now I would put Hendon Hooker ahead of him right now. Mm-hmm. But this is about where he's going to be, not where he is currently. So with all of that in mind, Will Levis, I expect to get drafted ahead of Hendon Hooker in the draft. Now, this is where I have to clarify this all the time, because I've ripped Will Levis, not because I don't like Will Levis. It's because I don't like what Mel Kiper has projected him to be atop this mountain. In January, whenever he said Will Levis is the number one player on his board, he sets that up because it's just part of the draft conversation and cycle. And there's no way Will Levis is the number one prospect in this draft. That doesn't mean he's not a first-round pick, and it doesn't mean he's not a top 15 pick. And he's going to go higher than that because quarterbacks are always overdrafted. But I think what we're beginning to see is the leveling out of the quarterback field. And in many ways, if there weren't the quarterback class and the crop that we have this year, let's say it was last year's deal, we would be overanalyzing another position the same way. And what I'm seeing is Levis is settling back into where he was in this entire conversation in November and December, which is he's right where he should be, right in the middle of the first round. He's a very good college quarterback, very good prospect, a higher ceiling than Hendon Hooker. I think that I'm basing that on age, all of the different things that you look for in the quality of what you're wanting and the size, speed, athleticism, all that. But he's behind Richardson and Young and Stroud for me. And, oh, by the way, I would draft Hendon Hooker in the first round, just to clarify.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic on with us. Jonathan, you know, they use all these different things to evaluate quarterbacks, and the S2 testing has become pretty prevalent in how people view quarterback prospects. And it came out that Bryce Young scored pretty high in it. They didn't come out with his exact score. You know, Joe Burrow got in the 97th percentile. And it basically is just, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with the S2 testing, but just kind of, you know, how you react, yeah, how you know, evaluate things while you're on the field. How much do you play that into when you look at different quarterback prospects? And how much do you weigh that when looking at them?
It's an ingredient. But overall, I mean, when you get to this point, at the quarterback spot, I just want to know, can you ball? At no point are they weighing the cognitive aspects of what he did at Kentucky or what Bryce Young was doing at Bama. Or, I mean, this test that we overanalyzed for the NFL level, mm-hmm, we get to a point in the draft conversation where a lot of these guys are very similar in many ways. And the debate is great for sports talk. It's great for the draft room, I'm sure. And it's a conversation that has to be had. But at the same time, if you put up numbers and you have the analytics behind you and you have the trophies on the wall and the accolades from the college game that projects to the system of the team that's drafting high, that guy is going to be the pick 9 times out of 10. I think it's more or less a tiebreaker. And it's also about the fit, the match, and the overall the idea of the offense that has just been either in place or a longtime coach that wants to continue on with the lineage of the type of quarterback he's had. And more, I think more times it fits with that than it does a test score. Because let's be honest, I took the ACT twice. And one was a way different score than the other one. And the one I got higher on, I just guessed a lot.
Always choose C. C for correct.
we're talking to John.
No, I did that the first time, and I got a very low score. My parents were very unhappy with me, Michelle.
I can say personally my ACT score wasn't that great either, but we're talking to Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with OutKick, with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans announced today officially that his extension has been made, but we all kind of knew that through the Twitterverse last Friday. Can you kind of touch on what it means to get this done so early in the offseason and what it means for the Titans to keep a guy like this on their roster going forward?
Well, it's huge. And I think it's big that they get it done now compared to when we would normally see this happen. Normally this happens in July or August. Mm-hmm. But for Simmons and for Rand Carthon, the conversation picked up. They met recently, a month and a half ago, and we finally see it done now when we knew it was going to get done this offseason. He was priority number one, and they treated him like that. The other thing that didn't happen, that happened last year, is they let it get to the draft, and well before the draft, conversations were had between AJ and his representation, and there was some animosity about the fact that he wasn't going to get paid. And he wasn't going to get paid. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, going into this offseason, when Simmons was also eligible for the extension last year, the contract talks were certainly there. He had the stay-in where he sat in the practice facility during the mandatory minicamp portion of their offseason for those 2 days. But he played ball, literally and figuratively. And he played through injury towards the back end of the season. When they were on that losing streak, he could have tapped out, headed to IR, stayed healthy, and instead he played through that. I think it was imperative that they get it done this early. And look, this goes back to what the Titans are built around, and it's both fronts, offensive and defensive fronts. He's the best player on their roster. And when they identified him at Mississippi State, he was not eligible to go to the combine. He had the off-the-field issue. He was also injured. He got injured in that February training for the combine. And Vrabel and Robinson, immediately after the combine in Indy, the very next day, flew and worked him out in Starkville. And when they were on the way back to Nashville, they've made an agreement that they weren't going to contact him again. They didn't reach out to him. They didn't reach out to his agent. They didn't tell anybody that they were interested in him. And the reason for that is when other teams came in to work him out, obviously you're going to ask, well, who else is coming to see you? What did you think about them? He never mentioned the Titans because the Titans never reached back out to get further information or a further interview or try to get him into Nashville. And that kept them off the radar. So and with the time that it took to get to the draft, whenever they actually called him, when they were on the clock, he was stunned because he thought the Titans hated him. And instead, they loved him. And as it come to find out, he's the best player on their roster as they enter 2023, and he's paid for it as well. That's the other thing, guys. His play matches the contract. Mm-hmm. And it also is a really good contract for the Titans, especially this year on the salary cap.
Another one for you here, Hutton. Mel Kiper came out with his mock draft, and I know that he does various amounts of mock drafts, you know, throughout the entire offseason. But he has the Tennessee Titans trading up with the Arizona Cardinals to move to number three and draft Anthony Richardson. And I've been seeing this a lot here recently. Do you think it's more likely that the Titans would trade up or that they would trade back to go and get a prospect in this year's draft?
I wouldn't trade back if you're clearly looking at these top five guys. To my knowledge, they haven't done much work on Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. I know that they were at the pro days, but they haven't had the visits like we've seen with Richardson and with Levis, and certainly the time they've been able to spend with Hendon Hooker as the in-state prospect. I don't think you can trade back and get one of these guys. And honestly, Junie, if you like the guy, draft him. You don't if you've identified a quarterback of the future in the first round, I don't care where you're drafting. 11 is not too high for Hendon Hooker if he is your guy. Same for Will Levis, by the way. And Anthony Richardson is going to go, I think, in the top three. And you know the interesting case moving forward now is what I was reading through Pro Football Focus. Houston Texans don't want to deal with C.J. Stroud's agent, which is David Mulgaletta, who represented Deshaun Watson. And that's they don't trust him. That was what I was hearing from Pro Football Focus. It's a very interesting scenario if Bryce Young goes number one, because what will Houston do at number two? And Arizona's in a great spot.
Oh, yes.
Because they can name their price. They know Indianapolis is going to take a quarterback, and you want to get your guy before Indy's on the clock or another team jumps forward. And there are going to be a number of teams that do. And here's the other part of the negotiation. Where are you picking in the first round when you swap first round picks with Arizona? There are going to be other teams higher than Tennessee, but lower than Indy. Seattle comes to mind, for instance. If you can jump up ahead of Indy and get to three, then you get your guy before Indy's on the clock. There are other teams other than Tennessee that warrant that. Mm-hmm. But the Titans are telling everyone, and they're not keeping it a secret through these reports, they're interested in a quarterback of the future. They're doing their homework on this. It's not just about Will Levis being in today. It's the time spent on the first-round quarterbacks. Because after this year, under contract, they don't have their guy. And if the guy's in this draft, they need to address it now based on where they're picking.
Quickly, Hutton, switching to the NBA before we let you go. Do you think the Mavs should or will lose their first-round pick after, you know, the NBA is going to investigate them because they sat out several key players against the Bulls in their game last week?
I don't know. This is a hard one because here are the details behind it. And I do think it's a beta move. With the playoffs on the line, they're also trying to do it so they protect their top 10 pick in that trade that they made with the New York Knicks for Porzingis. So all of that plays a factor. It was a Shark Tank move by Mark Cuban. Let's say that. But they lost that game by 3 points.
Yep.
And they were 2-8 with the crew that they were actually sitting going into that game. So while, yes, they set their star power, they sucked anyway. And they nearly won the game. Mm-hmm. 115-112, I think, was the final score. And that's what Cuban's going to point to. It was a very interesting press conference with Jason Kidd, though, where he said, hey, I know it's like waving the white flag. We had to have a conversation about this, but we, you know, maybe you take a step back now in order to take steps forward in the off season. It's all but admitting it. And they announced it ahead of time. And it also came at 24 hours after the NBA wasn't going to overturn the decision that the Warriors got a 2-point win when Cuban was protesting the actual victory for a free basket that he claims was on the officials and not on the Mavs.
Wild things going on in the NBA. Jonathan Hutton from almost said Outkick 360. Jonathan Hutton
from good.
Hot Mike from Outkick. A pleasure as always. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys. Always enjoy this, and I look forward to joining the guys in midday tomorrow.
Sounds good. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike on Outkick joins us usually on Mondays at 10:30. Joined us today, Tuesday at 10:30. Coming up next, Junie and I will put a bow on things. Something I'm seeing coming out on Twitter from Jim Wyatt I want to discuss regarding the Tennessee Titans, regarding if they could get a quarterback in this year's draft. Coming up next on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Final segment of the day, Chase and Michelle. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser. Junie in for Chase today and tomorrow. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. Thanks to Jonathan Hutton for joining us from Hot Mike. Tune in for the Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides, AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Insurance. And also join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have a chance to win some awesome prizes. Sign up and play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Going to be a fun golf tournament. As always, had fun there last year driving the golf cart around. But what's up, June?
No, I completely forgot to ask Jonathan Hutton something. And it was totally about when I filled in for Robbie last week on Robbie and Rex Road, and Paul Kaharski completely forgot who I was.
That you were his intern?
Oh, yeah, because like I sat there and worked with, you know, him, Chad, and Hutt for like a year throughout the entire 2020 football season, and he completely forgot who I was when we had him on for an interview.
You're just all grown up. You're just all grown up now. He couldn't believe it.
Oh yeah, I know. It just slipped past his mind through the success. But you know, it is what it is. Me and Paul rekindle that when football season comes back around.
Well, Junie, we discussed the quarterback conversation with Jonathan Hutton. Discuss some of the quarterback prospects. Will Levis, as we mentioned a bunch throughout the show, that he's visiting today with the Tennessee Titans. They're doing their homework on all of these quarterbacks. Cam Wolf from the NFL Network reported that Anthony Richardson will be coming to visit next week with Tennessee. And I thought it was an interesting point. He said he was reading something on Pro Football Focus that the Houston Texans don't want to deal with C.J. Stroud's agent because he is the same agent that Deshaun Watson had. So I don't know if you remember this, but last week when we talked to Charles Robinson made a clear point to say, don't be so sure that the Houston Texans will be staying at that second overall pick.
You know what? That makes me really sit down and think that Bryce Young is Houston's guy. And if that he's not there, they may not want to take a flyer with the number two overall pick with one of these.
Don't
reach. They might be happy with Davis Mills until they can find the guy that they think can take them over the top. And I got mad respect for Houston if that's what they ultimately decide to do. But that makes the conversation that more interesting about if the Titans would move up to three and let's say C.J. Stroud is there. That changes this conversation entirely, because when I asked Jonathan the question about whether or not, you know, what's more likely, that the Titans trade up or trade back, for me personally, I would rather see the Titans trade back, because I think that they could do more with that for the future. But if C.J. Stroud is sitting there at number three, and you have that connection with Monty Austin Ford, who just came from the front office here of the Titans and is the new general manager over there, and you can work out a deal to jump the Colts, that would be something spectacular.
I just saw your eyes light up.
Because I've said it from the jump. Before C.J. Stroud had this hype of becoming the first quarterback taken off the board, even before mm-hmm. the Georgia game, I said going into this draft that this guy is the number one pro prospect that is ready to start day one and that has the highest floor out of all of these guys, out of every single one of them, Bryce Young included, just because of his size, and we don't know if he's going to be durable in the NFL. So if C.J. Stroud is there at number three, I would say go for it. I would say absolutely go for it. I know that I've been really high on Will Levis. I just don't think Will Levis would prosper on this team if you give up all those future assets to add along with him. But with a guy like C.J. Stroud who doesn't need all of that, that gets me intrigued.
Well, I mean, you know, when we talk about it, we've really highlighted Hendon Hooker, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson because we haven't viewed Anthony Richardson, or I'm sorry, we haven't ruled C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young available because we've all assumed they're going to go 1 and 2 in whatever which order to the Panthers and the Houston Texans. But, you know, putting together, and maybe this is me being a little sleuthy, putting context clues together, but, you know, hearing what Jonathan Hutton just said, he was reading Pro Football Focus and connecting the dots of C.J. Stroud's agent being Deshaun Watson's agent, and they don't even want to go there. And then Charles Robinson also saying on on Robbie and Rex Road last week that don't be too sure that Houston will be taking a quarterback or staying at the second overall pick. I mean, I just think it makes things very, very interesting. And to put it a step further, Junie, Jim Wyatt always has the best mailbags on TennesseeTitans.com. I'll read a quick response for you before we let you go today. David Stowe from Philadelphia. Hey, Jim, hope all is well with you and the family. First off, thank God we got the contract extension done with Big Jeff. Truly was sweating. Now I pray that we don't trade up for a quarterback. We've got way more pressing needs to address, like wide receiver, offensive line, plus a decent pass rusher. Well, I'm done. As always, tighten up. Jim says, good to hear from you, David. You won't have to wait much longer on the draft when you'll find out if there's any fire behind all that smoke. Dot, dot, dot. Jimmy Wyatt leaving
Jim
him
Wyatt,
hanging. I love it.
One of the best in the business, leaving the fans with a cliffhanger, obviously teasing the possibility of the Titans trading up. They're doing their homework, but are they going to, you know, pull the trigger? Are they going to go out and get their guy? I don't know. But it is so interesting, especially with this whole narrative with the Texans, which is funny because it's funny because C.J. Stroud said one of the quarterbacks that he kind of looks up to is Deshaun Watson, not knowing that they have the same agent. This makes a lot of sense because I know that agent got in between, you know, him and the Houston Texans, and that's part of the reason that breakup ended up happening. So interesting stuff. Almost 2 weeks away.
2 weeks of all this speculation. If the Tennessee Titans will take a quarterback, I know Caroline Willie and D-Mace will discuss it all on the other side, plus the Predators' awesome win last night in Calgary. Thanks for listening to us today. Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.